Hi, I'm Jody the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr the doc. And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk about all things healing pans and pandas with a particular emphasis on homeopathy. And today we are going to get our first glimpse into what Jody's life was like as she was starting to experience pans in her family, in her household. So over the next several episodes, we're going to be talking a lot about Jody and her daughter's journey to finding a solution and getting to on the healing path. There was a lot of ups and downs, and there's a whole lot that went into it. And so we're breaking them up just for ease into different episodes. So this might be a good one to binge if you are wanting to learn more about that in quick succession. But that's really what we're going to be doing over the next several episodes. So, but today, Jody, you're just going to give us a glimpse into what it was like in your house when this all first started. So
yeah.
How about we start with how things were before pans onset?
I feel like to do Avery justice, and I know everybody thinks that they have the most amazing, wonderful kid. First, I'll say that. But to do her and the little human she was before pans came along justice, we have to go all the way back to the very beginning. And literally from birth, Avery was, I felt like I had won the lotto. I was like, everything everybody told me about all the hard stuff. It was still like learning to be a mom and all that stuff. Everything was just really easy. She was an easy baby. She was a pretty easy toddler, which is shocking because I don't know many toddlers that are easy. She was a really, really smart little girl. Her daddy is well above average intelligence. And she definitely, got his desire to learn more and just ease in learning things. She was always she used to, it was not okay if we didn't spend them. And I was lucky I stayed at home with her. If we didn't spend the majority of our day sitting reading books, she wanted to read all day, every day. And really going into, starting her little Mother's Day Out program, she loved school. She was obsessed with it. All the way around, she was just a good, easy, happy kid. She was super social, loved visiting with other people, loved going and doing all of the things. And then we got somewhere around right at the end of 4 years old, and then some little things started happening, nothing major. My friends don't want to play with me on the playground. Okay, we had a bad day. And then really there was just this point where the going backwards a little bit, I'm being a little all over the place because it's so hard to remember. This has all been so long ago.
Yeah.
There was a cough that started. There was a line of illnesses that happened. She went through having Epstein-Barr. She went through having the coughing one, the lung one. Mycoplasma. There we go. She went through just kind of a string of back-to-back getting sick. And I was like, oh my gosh, this kid has like the never-ending cough. Like we've been coughing for 3 months. This is nuts. What's going on? Didn't think a whole lot of it. It was just a kid that was in, a daycare program that got sick all of the time. But then really what really the most alarming first thing to me outside of those coughs that I didn't recognize as anything yet, was when I was picking her up from school, she was having these just insane meltdowns. In the beginning, it was, I would get her into the car and then she would just melt. Like it was like a switch of the flip or a flip of the switch. And all of a sudden she was like a completely different kid, like screaming at the top of her lungs, crying, upset about the most irrational things that she'd never been upset about. And that thing kept happening. And in the beginning, I was like, oh, she's having a bad day. Oh, this is a bad week. And it just kept going and going, and it got more alarming and more alarming. And I would tell my husband about it. I'm like, this is like something crazy is happening. And he was like, oh, you know, she's tired after school. Or by the time we would get home, she would be like not melting down like she was in the vehicle. And so as we went, it started happening like in the hallway, me trying to get her out of school. And then it was happening in the parking lot. And then I was literally that mom with my arm on my kid trying to get her strapped into her car seat because she was just physically going crazy. As this is happening, she's starting to have more concerns about whatever's happening with friends on the playground, and these interactions that are happening. But at the same time, I would stay after school and I wouldn't see any of these things happening. And then she started right about that time, like making the movements with her neck and, movements with her fingers. And I also noticed that throughout the day, she was telling me, you know, a little bit here and there, my stomach hurts. Pardon me. And I was like, okay, she's having a bad day. She's having a bad week. She's got some GI, something going on. But it just kept going and going, and it got worse and worse until like she was telling me all throughout the day, like 60, 70 times a day that her stomach was hurting. And there was really no explanation. She was also starting to have memory issues. We would have conversations and 2 minutes later, she would ask me the same question. I'm like, I just explained that to you. And it got to the point where it was super concerning to me because she, I would feed her, I would make her breakfast and I would feed her and she would eat and then she'd go away. And then like 10 minutes later, she would come back and she'd be like, when are you going to make me breakfast? And I'd be like, Avery, you just ate. And she's like, no, I didn't. And she would get really, really angry. And somewhere in that time frame, Avery has always been an excellent eater, always loved all foods, always super happy to accept healthy whole foods. She was just a good eater. And she, one day I put a plate in front of her and she started crying and she's like, Mom, I can't eat that apple. And I was like, why can't you eat the apple? You've always eaten the apple. She's like, if I eat the apple, I'm going to die. Like that apple's going to kill me. And I thought, you know, there was things that I attributed to, I always kind of had, like, I could reason away anything. Like I could reason all of these things that were happening, but they just started piling up and becoming more. And then one day, her teacher approached me and was like, hey, like, I want to talk to you about Avery. And she ended up talking to me about how Avery had become a distraction in class. Because she was talking and goofing and laughing and getting other classmates involved. And that at the same time, she's like, have you noticed like anything with her handwriting? And at the time I hadn't paid, you know, I just hadn't seen anything that I thought looked different. And she's like, also like math skills, she's all of a sudden struggling in a way that she wasn't struggling. And so starting to pay attention to the handwriting, I was like, holy cow. And then, you know, that was right around the time where she was learning to read. All of a sudden words that she used to recognize, she couldn't read at all anymore. Mm-hmm. She didn't know them. She started to become anxious about, I think she had OCD in Pan's kids. I didn't understand at the time that OCD can look different. I'm like, no, she's not touching things multiple times. She's not washing her hands over and over. She doesn't have OCD. What Avery's OCD looked like was, riding in the car, she had to read every single street sign, or not street sign, but speed limit sign. Every single one of them, she never, ever, ever missed one of them. That is literally all she did. She would look for the signs. She would look at the speedometer in my car. And she would, if I was even 1 mile over, she would like go into panic and she would start obsessing about going to jail. And then going to jail turned into needing to know all of the laws that can be broken to go into jail. So she would ask me 40 times a day to tell her all of the laws that would cause someone to be taken to jail. And all of these things just kept morphing and getting worse. The tics became more, the anger and frustration that was happening after school started to happen all throughout the day. When she was home, she started to lash out at myself, her younger sister, my husband. She was very, Avery would have like spells, like she would be okay for a while. And then she would go into these spells where it's like, I could almost see it coming on. She would get a real like glassed over look in her eyes. And I could tell that she was like going into it. And sometimes we could distract away from it, like move her, take her outside, do something, and she would be okay. But other times she would not. And she would go into just like, it was like there was no Avery left in there. There was no, like I didn't recognize her as my child when she was in these spells. She would be so angry and so elevated and just outside. And during these spells is when she would do a lot of the age regression stuff where like, there, like nothing in our world was going to happen until I complied with what she was telling me to do. Yeah. And that compliance was telling her she was a baby, treating her like a baby. There were so many other things. There was a huge long like period where she wouldn't go outside because she was so terrified of bugs. Anything outside, she literally did not want to even walk from our front door to the car to go to her school in the morning. All of these things made no sense whatsoever. They were happening sporadically. The spells would happen and she would be way elevated in her behavior and crazy. And then just like that, she would come out of the spells and she would feel remorse. She would be like, I have no idea why I just did that. I was trying not to, but I couldn't stop what was going on. These things were happening very, very heavily in front of me, around me. Not at the time, my husband worked a lot more. And whenever he would come home, it was like, oh, party time, dad's home. Everybody's in a good mood. Like, woo, like, let's have fun. It wasn't happening so much in front of him. And I tried to like explain what was going on. And he's like, all the things, like, I'm just sure he thought I was exaggerating a lot because I was a stay-at-home mom that was tired. I had two kiddos, one medically complex little one, and then Avery as well. And so there was a lot of questioning of what was going on. And I think the moment where Billy finally caught up with all of it, Avery went walking through our living room and her body was ticking so bad. Every step she took, one of her legs would like kick out to the side. And there was just like no denying that there was something really, really, really like neurologically wrong in her body. And so that was kind of the point where he was like, okay, something's going on. What do we do from here? And that beginning phase, like all of those symptoms looking back, that was all really easy compared to how it morphed into the further we went along. But it was, you know, the very beginning was, you know, what do I do now? Like, let's go to the pediatrician. The pediatrician was like, I don't know what's going on. Let's take her to an allergist. Maybe, you know, some of this is bad allergies. Those were like our very first stops that we made. And
we're going to get into that in our next episode too. Yeah. We're going to go through all the doctors that Jody.
Yeah. And so we were sitting at the very beginning of this and I got so incredibly, incredibly lucky. I had not told anybody about what was going on just because I was a relatively like private, you know, and I didn't understand what was going on because it was so crazy and so outside of the kid that I had several months before. And I just ended up after school one day telling a couple of moms what was going on.
And that's where we're going to leave off today, because what I actually lied just now, And our next episode is actually going to be talking a little bit more about that connection and the importance of community in helping people. And the reason that we actually decided to talk about that first was because of the importance of community in getting support, not just in getting a diagnosis and how vital that is early on. So if our thought was anybody who is early in the process, looking for community to help as you are going through chasing a diagnosis, going to all the specialists, going to all the doctors, can be absolutely vital and life-giving. So would you give us a little bit of a teaser before we wrap up for today? You said that actually felt easy compared to how things got. Like, would you give us a little bit of a teaser about how things actually got that made that seem easy?
Yeah. The symptoms in the beginning were so mild. At that time, like everything is relative. At that time, it was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? This is insane. But again, like the further that we got into it, the more symptoms piled on, the more treatment that we did with Avery, the get her a little bit better, then she gets back to worse. Each time worse came back around, worse was significantly worse for Avery. And so the symptoms that we were experiencing in the beginning were like a light little dash of what she eventually fell into after spending 6 months, 8 months. And then in that like year area, over that year period, it just developed into a complete and total beast that literally consumed my child and our entire family, because everything just skyrocketed from there.
Yeah. So we'll wrap today. And in our next episode, we are going to talk about the community, the value and importance of community, and how community really helped Jody get into the direction that she was able to get her kiddo back. And so we hope that you'll join us there. In the meantime, if any of this sounds familiar to you, if Jody struck some chords and you're like, oh, this sounds like my kiddo, a good place for you would probably be in the Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas group. I know I bring it up on every video and every episode, but it is that important to so many people, because it's not just a place to learn, but it's also a place to connect with people who understand. So if anything struck a chord with you, I would encourage you to join that group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas. Until our next episode, take care, everybody.
Bye.